Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. It's Belinda Ellsworth here today on this wonderful fall day, and I have the absolute pleasure of introducing you to a great guest today, Rachel Brosen. Rachel is the founder of Spark, Cards for Humanity, a fun relationship-building activity for leaders and communities who want to strengthen bonds and believe that meaningful conversations have a lasting impact. She is also the founder of Love is Love, There is No Box, which is a multifaceted project centered on the healing power of storytelling. Rachel believes that when we have exposure to multiple perspectives, our hearts and minds expand. So she's on a mission to make the world a better place, one conversation at a time. She also currently works as an associate for an educational nonprofit where she coaches leaders to create powerful, equitable learning conditions for their schools and communities. Some of the things that have been foundational in shaping her deep, heartfelt belief, passions, and motivations have been 10 years of teaching, coaching, and leading in schools, learning alongside colleagues and mentors in her Stanford master's program, learning with and from her current colleagues and clients, and her extensive training in designing and facilitating experiences for equitable conditions. It's my pleasure today to introduce you to Rachel Brosen.
Good morning over here in California. It's such a pleasure and honor to be here, Belinda.
Oh, well, thank you so much. So why don't you just take a minute and just sort of fill us in a little bit on your journey, as well as tell us a little bit more about yourself. Tell us about Rachel.
Yeah, thank you so much. As you mentioned, I am an associate, but I really identify with the term coach. It's something that really has always been a part of what I do my whole life. Is just I have a passion for helping people. And so I'm a leadership coach. I'm also a human potentialist. I believe in the power of and promise of human potential. And so I work with visionary leaders who are committed to their team's growth and also their growth. And something that makes me is that I believe we have to get vulnerable and lead from our whys in order to actually make some actual significant progress on our goals and missions and desires in life. And so what I say is people who I work with have got to be ready to have a spark ignited inside of them, because I love to really tap into people's kind of most deepest potential, really. And so what has also been really formative in what I do and who I am and how I show up for all of the people that I support is that I am a proud daughter. I'm a proud sister. I am the mother of an adorable 8-pound chihuahua. And I'm also the partner of an amazing, beautiful African-American woman. And all of those parts of my life add texture to my convictions, my passions. Specifically with my partnership, I've just found that, especially from personal experience, working with people across difference so much. And it's just a part of the air that I breathe. I believe that when we actually create space for meaningful connection, there's something powerful that ignites within us and among us. And so I'm on a mission to build more community and open up new possibilities for a more hopeful tomorrow.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thanks for sharing all of that with us. So yeah. So how's the business then shaped your lifestyle?
Yeah, it's interesting because I identify as a coach. It's been a real shift to start identifying as an entrepreneur. I never really saw myself as an entrepreneur with that title. And it's interesting because sometimes people see things in you that you don't even see yourself. One of my mentors says, you can't see the color of your own eyes. And that was really impactful for me because this journey starting my own business is because people saw something within me that I didn't even see myself. And I've always loved helping people and creating conditions and designing spaces and places for retreats and for team gatherings. And so this product emerged actually by an accident because I just felt like there weren't enough solutions to some problems that I was seeing. And so I actually created, it started with some index cards that was like, oh, let's facilitate a conversation because we have the only options that are on the table are apples to apples, which is great, and cards against humanity, which is another product out there that serves a purpose and has its own following. And I felt like, gosh, what I'm really trying to do is fuel a different kind of conversation, a different kind of depth in conversation, and to just cut the small talk and really bring people together in meaningful ways. And so the project just emerged. It's still so new. It started in June this past year. And all of the tools and skills that I learned as a school leader running a school, it turns out, are very, very aligned with the what you need to have in order to be an entrepreneur. You have to be fast-paced, a fast learner, convicted, motivated, driven, and all of those kind of qualities of that had just become a part of who I was really transferred effortlessly. When I found this product, I was like, oh, okay. So it went from index cards to a Kickstarter campaign, from a Kickstarter campaign to meeting my Kickstarter goal, to starting a business and just not missing a beat. Because when you have your heart and mind dedicated to something, it's just unbelievable. There's something within you that just is fueled in a way that is only entrepreneurs understand, I've found.
That's right. I think people are always waiting to sort of, with what they're currently doing, to be either inspired or suddenly have more energy or looking for something magic that's going to make them, you know, suddenly behave differently. And I see this all the time, especially with salespeople. I see it with, you know, every walk of life. But the reality of it is, people always ask me, how do you get so much done in a day? And the reality is because I love what I'm doing. Like, I don't really look at it as work. I'm super excited about it. And there's that the passion within what you're doing is what fuels you to do all those behaviors, the consistency, the doggedness, the, you know, learning as fast as you can, going as fast as you can, working till, you know, midnight sometimes, but then still being able to get up at, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning and be ready to go and hit the ground running. It's all fueled by this passion of living out what's meaningful to you. And I think
that's
where people get hung up. They keep staying doing unmeaningful things and hoping that somehow they're going to get passion in regards to that. And then they wonder why they're tired or they're exhausted or they just wish they had a break or they're living for the weekend. You know, I see it every day and my business and life just runs together. You know, one minute I'm enjoying life and the next minute I got to take care of business. And then, but I'm excited to take care of it because it's something, you know, fun and interesting. And then in the very next breath, I'm like, okay, I got that off my plate. Let's all go here. So I just think people really confuse what that looks like. So I just thought I'd add to that a little bit because it's one of the things that I kind of see people get stuck on all of the time. So then, what would you then identify as a couple of your greatest skill sets? So all of us have strengths and weaknesses, each and every single one of us. And so what would you say a couple of your strengths then are?
Thank you. Yeah, you know, what you just said, I just have to comment that I love what you just mentioned about basically intrinsic motivation versus extrinsic motivation, right? And when internally you're driven, there's something inside of you that wants to actually live a life of purpose, something magical happens. And so I remember when I lived in Spain for a while, they said, you Americans live to work and we in Europe work to live because you've got to appreciate life. And for me, this kind of leads into some of my strengths, I think, is because I live for my values. I live for service. I live for honesty. I live for integrity and I live for authenticity. And if those are the things that are my core, what a gift that I get to bring that with me to my workplace. I mean, there's just so much of life that I think we can either be conditioned to stuff down or like repress or suppress some of our biggest passions and values, or we can allow ourselves to thrive. And so I think something that most recently I've learned to embrace is talking about my strengths is not a sign of selfishness. You know, as an entrepreneur, you can't make it without promoting yourself and being proud of who you are. And so I'm embracing that as this is very new for me, but I am taking the fact that I live with my core values and through my core values, and they drive what I do, how I show up, the stance that I take in my coaching, in my supporting others, and my facilitating spaces. I think there's just something that was unlocked when I realized that being my authentic self and not being apologetic or afraid to do that can be a sign of strength. So I'll just stop there.
Okay, well, great. So then share with us an obstacle or challenge that you faced and then how you worked through that.
Oh, goodness, Belinda. I have so many. It's hard to know where to start. But I think what I'll say for today is that, you know, I grew up in Texas. I grew up in a very fortunate position. My family, while we had many challenges and there was quite a bit of change, all things considered, I grew up with tremendous privileges and I'm very fortunate. Something that I wish I had had more of is exposure to more perspectives, because I grew up in Texas and it was a fairly sheltered small town. And so in my experience, I had to go out of my way to engage in different ways of thinking and being and engaging. And I also didn't have exposure to a lot of strong, unapologetic, bold, brilliant, confident women. And so a lot of what I saw women do in my upbringing was be great hostesses and be the people pleaser and put on good parties. And it was actually outside of the norm to have, in my experience, exposure and access to women who were dominating and proudly standing firmly in their truth, right? And so what that led to are some challenges for me that rubbed up against some of my core values, which is I became that people pleaser. I didn't feel like I could be my fullest self. And it was unconscious, honestly. Like, it's, you don't know what you don't know until you get over something and you see it so much clearly. And so for me, overcoming the challenges of basically up until I was about 27, 28, something happened when I was 28 and I just woke up and I look around and I thought, I am not living the dream that is aligned with my deepest desires. I hit rock bottom in my personal life. I went through a divorce at age 29. I went through a lot of challenges that were rubbing up against my own self, not being true to my purpose, right? And so overcoming those obstacles in my personal life and then having to literally in every way, shape, and form, not be that people pleaser anymore and admit to, you know, a whole school community that I was leading that I was changing my name and this is why. And it was just like the universe was putting all these signs in front of me saying, okay, Rachel, here's another one. You have to say it publicly, who you are and what matters to you most. Here you go again. Here's another one, you know? And so what I learned very quickly was that the people who weren't aligned with me being that person and being more proud of who I was and standing in my truth, those people actually, they disappeared fairly quickly, you know, and I realized, oh, wow, all that negative noise that was in my head, I what's the worst that could happen? Okay, so they're not there. And it actually allowed me to see so clearly who my support system really was. And so all of that to say, I think talking about myself, what emerged from that, from being a school leader in an urban community in Oakland, talking about my journey, my passions as a white woman, talking about equity and the importance of having diverse communities, talking about my own racial identity and my privileges was very scary at the beginning, you know, and I learned over time, every time I leaned into that scary conversation and the thing that brought up the most fear, I grew the most, you know, and so that really led to a lot of the beginnings of my next project.
That is great. And that was a lot there. You shared a lot of really special things that I think sometimes it just kind of goes past people. But I do think that in our upbringing and there's expectations placed on us that we have a tendency to live up to these expectations of others that have absolutely, they don't allow us to be who we are. And I think the other key thing that you made, and I think people are so fearful of, you know, what are other people going to think? What is this person? Mm-hmm. How are they going to feel? And so often it's those people that you're worried about the most. You're right. They might not agree with you and they might not still be aligned with you. But when it's gone, there's also a huge amount of anxiety and fear and frustration that leaves with it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And so I don't know why people struggle with that so much. And yet there's such a freedom in like being able to, you know, and I know sometimes like you have people that are close in your life, like family, for example, and you're still going to love your family and you still have your family. But the difference is you don't have to expect that they're going to agree with everything or support you and be okay with that. It's like, I still love you and you can be over there and I'll talk to you about the garden or the weather or, you know, sports or whatever you want to talk about, but I'm not going to try to validate myself with you about my business or my lifestyle or my dreams or any of my heart's desires. And if people could learn to separate that out, and it doesn't have to be an all or nothing, and it doesn't have to be a one or the other, but you don't keep going back to the people who will never support you, expecting them to change their mind. I think
that's right.
That's the critical piece.
That's right. That's right. And that's such the number one lesson for being an entrepreneur too, for me. What I've learned is that in all of the ways in which this new identity is taking shape, people who support me are so vocal and so present and so beautiful. And then others who are questioning or judging or blaming or, you know, like deconstructing one thing that you said and making a snap judgment. It's like, okay, if that is who you want to believe I am, then it's actually not worth all of the energetic muscle that's required of me to confront that. Like, you're not going to change your mind. It's not on me to shift your mindset if you're so stuck in that place. Whereas I could use all that energy supporting my tribe and supporting the people who do believe in me and crafting and tweaking and tuning my message. Of course, I'm going to make mistakes. Of course, I am so clear that I am not perfect. And I am so clear that what is the only thing that keeps me going are the folks who support me leading and working with congruence to my values and beliefs, you know. And I will stumble, I will fumble. That is the only thing I know for sure. But I also know that people who actually see me and get me and understand me, they're going to be able to look past if I mess up on one word, or if I say the wrong thing, or if I have a typo on my website. Like, those people are going to say, hey, let me actually lean in and help you, or let me hold up the mirror and mirror back what I'm hearing you say, because I love and support you. Those are very different, right?
Right. Absolutely. So yeah. Then what does working from your happy place mean to you?
You know, it means so much. And I keep saying working from my why with a capital W-H-Y, because once I'm living from and with my purpose, my deepest purpose in life, which is, I believe I'm here to support leaders, to build teams, to navigate and design and facilitate team conversations and actually take responsibility for what matters most in their lives to make this world a better place. And a lot of times that means shedding light on the power of storytelling and slowing down and really listening to your people. And so I've been told that, I mean, I've just always been a fascinated person with stories. Like, in another life, maybe I was a sociologist or an anthropologist. I'm genuinely so curious to hear what people's deepest values, beliefs, what their stories are, their backgrounds and lived experiences, and how that's shaped and informed who they are. And so my reason and purpose for being in this world is to support others and empower others to then create conditions and communities that allow for authentic connection, you know? And so that's my why. There's something that ignites inside of me when I hear and see people break bread and break down barriers and, like, really build bridges rather than kind of ladders up and down in this hierarchical place. There's a small transformation that ignites when that happens. And then real community is built and then new possibilities emerge in that way. And I know this from experience working in a school and having to build and create and support teams, you know, in some of the most challenging conditions in East Oakland. And as I was a school leader in that place, to go from kind of scratch and developing systems and structures to bring people together, it's not easy, you know, when people are under a lot of distress. And so I have just some background in really working with people, listening to what their needs are, and then supporting them in my own authentic way to actually take responsibility for what matters most to them. For me, it always comes back to the kids, you know, whether I am in 5 years, if I have a huge multi-million-dollar business, who knows? if I make $20, you know, every month for a little while, what I know to be true is my heart will always be thinking about How can my product make this world a better place? How can my product ultimately support folks who are either parents, who are teachers, who are leaders that ultimately are going to impact the next generation? Because the next generation is the future, you know? And I believe if we can't model and walk a talk of like really this day and age, we, you know, my experience is just, it's so amplified because I work across difference every second of every day. And so if we don't have more tools and skills to really navigate some of those conversations, working with someone of a different race or working with someone of a different sexual identity, it just actually, there's a lot that gets in the way. And there's so many missed opportunities when you don't allow people to really be seen. And so that's what my product's all about. It's about, it's not the only way, but it's one way. It's my first way of introducing to the world, hey, there's another way. We can be for humanity, not against humanity. We can actually lean into some conversations and talk about what matters most to us. And it can be in service of a better tomorrow.
That's great. So now something that you're proud of or an accomplishment that you'd like to share.
You know, I think there's something about, I don't know if you experienced this, Belinda, but some days I wake up and genuinely don't, it feels like a dream that I'm here sometimes, that I actually have got myself to this place, that I have a manufacturing plan in place and I have a graphic designer who's building these incredible cards and ordering hundreds of cards for people who have signed up to pre-order decks of cards for their holiday gathering. You know, sometimes I'm just in a little bit of shock that I'm here, that I made it this far, and that I know I still have a long ways to go. But I think the thing that I'm most proud of is the fact that there were so many moments when I could have listened to my gut and then shut it down, you know, and said, you know what, I can't do that. Like, who am I to start something from scratch? What if somebody judges me? But I trusted it and I listened to it. And rather than saying I can do everything all by myself, which I'm not going to lie, I used to feel that way. Like, I used to think that I was just, I had to do it all by myself. I couldn't admit that I didn't have answers or I couldn't be vulnerable with people and ask for help. But I realized, okay, I'm going to trust my gut. I can do two things. Two things can be true at the same time. I can really listen to myself and be dedicated and committed to my passion, my biggest vision. And I can also ask for support and I can listen and say, hey, I need help. I can't do this by myself. And so rather than trying to do it all by myself, I actually have a handful of support staff who are helping me tremendously. And that's really what's taking this to the next level. I didn't create this in a vacuum. The only way that I was able to get to this place is that I haven't been attached to anything connected to my product. I've said, you know what? I have a vision, but I'm unattached to the details. And so if somebody tells me that if they're really interested in my product and they have ideas and they've participated in the prototype parties, then I have to really listen to them. I have to walk my talk and say, okay, you're right. Let's actually change the name, you know, from this to this, or let's adjust this. Let's change the color. This isn't clear. Great. Let's cut it, you know? And so just not being attached and really truly listening and leaning on my support system has been tremendous. I couldn't be here without it. And so I'm proud of that. I'm proud that I let my ego go and I'm just listening and continuing to lean in.
That is such great advice. And I'm sure it's going to lead right into our next question. But gosh, that's actually a real gift that people are sort of able to separate themselves emotionally from what they're doing. I had a counselor at one time. I was chatting with this gal about a variety of things. It was basically when I was going through my divorce. And she said, you have a very rare gift to be able to look at yourself from like up above, like be critical, be able to listen. If somebody says, hey, you don't do this, I always go, well, there's got to be, my first go-to isn't, well, that isn't true. Like, is this sort of defensiveness if it's like, well, there's probably a grain of truth in there somewhere. So it might not be as big as they're saying, but what is it? And then finding that support. And I started by just early on, and this is what I don't think people understand. It's what I was. Like, I worked as a 14-year-old 30-year-old young girl in the office of an entrepreneur helping her with their business, doing things after school. And so the first person I ever had work in my office ever was a young 14-year-old girl. And I just think, gosh, people just think they got to figure it out all themselves, and they don't allow people in, and they don't listen, and they're, oh, this is my name, or this is my logo, and I can't change that. And I'm thinking, why? And like, my gosh, right. If you've got this great advice and people are willing to tell you their feedback, wow. And right. then, and you don't have to pay a fortune to be able to get some people always say to me, I can't afford to get anybody to work in my office. I'm just going to have to keep doing it myself. I'm like, you can't afford not to, because you're drowning. So who says what afford is? What can you afford? Find that. Find what you can afford.
Right.
I see that hang up entrepreneurs all of the time. Like, big, huge hang up right there. I'll just do it myself. Yes. In keeping with that, then, what advice, and continuing sort of in that space, what advice would you give to those who want to be entrepreneurs?
Yeah, you know, I think that's such a good point that you make about, you know, there is something to admitting mistakes and asking for help is very vulnerable. It can be, you know, and on top of that, to then be distant from your ego in a time of vulnerability is not easy. You know, it requires immense internal strength. And so I think, having a support system of people who will hold up that mirror for you. And, you know, one of my funny examples is if I have spinach in my teeth and my partner doesn't tell me, I'm like, how did you let me get through that whole meal? And I had spinach in my teeth, you know, she's my mirror, and she'll tell me, hey, Rachel, come here, you know, in a loving, graceful way. Just come here, go to the bathroom, go to the, you know, whatever.
So exactly.
So I don't embarrass myself. And I think it's not everybody cares that much about spinach. And that's just a kind of a metaphor for like, okay, you have to have your people who are always going to be honest with you, and you cannot do this alone, you know? And similarly, the degree to which you can have your own practices, whatever it is, to take care of your mind, body, and spirit. You know, for me, it's running and yoga, because that I have to get out of my head sometimes. I will go cray cray if I'm always in my head. Again, I've had those nights, last night included, until midnight, still working on my spreadsheets, fine tuning some things, because it's hard to disengage when you feel so passionate about something and you genuinely love what you do. That said, I think the more you can ask questions from others and set boundaries and just kind of containers for, okay, I have this amount of time and I'm going to set a limit for myself, and then it's going to be good enough. Like, let go of the word perfection forever, because it's just, there is no perfect in my world, and it's going to be good enough. And then you prototype, because if you stay attached to something, and I use this word prototype because I was fortunate enough to have some training in design thinking and design school at Stanford. But the essence of it is like, you try some stuff, you offer a question, you observe how people experience it, and then you test it out and you say, okay, how does this feel? How does this actually solve the problem I'm trying to solve? And you let people engage without being attached or without being too connected to the end product, but you stay true to your core values, you know? And so find those, whatever your mantras are or whatever your code of conduct is, like, really think about what is it that you stand for, and then be unwavering around those 3 to 5 things and stay true to yourself, because there's plenty of stuff out there and distractions. Once you even decide that you want to embrace the term entrepreneur, all of a sudden, it's like overnight, the universe knows it's happening, and all of a sudden you have 20 new emails in your inbox every hour of people who are trying to get website design for entrepreneurs, or come join this list for entrepreneurs in this group who needs entrepreneurs, you know? And so it can be very distracting and tempting to want to be a part of it all. But I think once you know those core values and you know what you stand for, then it allows for those boundaries to be set a little bit with more ease and more clarity. And then you have your support system that you lean on and that holds up that mirror for you and stays by your side, because you will fumble and fall. So you're going to need some support.
That's great. Great, great advice. So share with us then, what are some new and exciting things that you're working on? And then of course, I want you to end with how people can find you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really excited because I now just finished my third prototype. So this is now version 2 of Spark Cards for Humanity. And the product is all about sparking conversation, sparking connection, fueling a different kind of depth in conversation and relationships, and then opening up new possibilities. And so if you're a team leader, if you're a community member, or just a family member who's looking for another way to, you know, just have a fun activity that is beyond small talk and builds community and allows for meaningful conversation, then I would love for you to come check it out. The new deck of cards is going to be on sale on my website starting at the beginning of November. And your listeners, because I have such deep respect for what you do, Belinda, and what you represent, if your listeners want to pre-order a deck and they email me with the subject line "Happy Place 10% discount, I will honor that and they'll get 10% off any of the products. I have three different, there's a small product that's only 75 to 80 cards. And then there's a medium sized deck that's about 170. And then there's a larger deck. And so they range from $15 to $30. And I will give discounts to all of your folks for that.
Great. I'm sure that this could be, a lot of people do leadership events, leadership meetings, workshops, and this could be a really fun thing to engage in conversation. Sounds like a fun activity. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other two things I was going to say, yeah, absolutely. It really was, the spirit of it started because it helped, it was meant to solve a problem that I was seeing, was that leaders needed more activities for those types of team building events, like corporate retreats and team retreats and holiday parties where they want to just take it to a different level. And so, yeah, that's a great connection. And I also will say that because your listeners are also here with me, I wanted to offer an exclusive holiday special that if they join my Facebook group, then I will give them access to download their own mini deck for free. So they can get a link that to a PDF in my website starting in November, where they can actually download and just check it out and see, okay, if I want to print this out and cut it up and try it out. And then if I see that I really like it, then I can commit and buy a deck of cards for $10 or $15, what have you. So I just wanted to offer that for your listeners too, that they, if they join my Facebook group, they'll also be given a PDF deck, and they can also email me with the same Happy Place PDF link, and that would be great. So the Facebook group is Spark Cards for Humanity. They can also search Rachel Rosen and Spark, and that will pop up. And the email is sparkcardsforhumanity@gmail.com. And so that's just sparkcardsforhumanity@gmail.com.
Oh, that's perfect. Well, thank you so much, Rachel. You have been delightful today. You had a lot of insights. I know our listeners are going to benefit from the many wonderful things that you've shared. And congratulations on your success with this Kickstarter campaign and the just ongoing success of your business. I think you've just done you're just on the very beginning of this adventure, and great things are in store.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. And I forgot the last thing, my website, which has a lot more information, is sparkcardsforhumanity.com. And starting in November, the new and improved rebranded website will be up and running.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy sunny California.
Oh, thank you, Belinda. It's been such an honor and a deep privilege to be on your show. I'm so grateful that you took the time to talk with me, and I look forward to staying in touch.
Okay. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.